and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, excuse me. Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Beautiful day it is. There's no wind. I think there's a little wind over there around Lawton, but other than that, and a little bit out there in the panhandle of Oklahoma, but other than that, pretty calm winds around here. Currently at Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell, 44 degrees. 44 degrees at the May Ranch, 40 at Slapout, 43 at Hollis, 41 at Hobart. Let's see what's happening out in the Panhandle. Same thing, 46 at Miami, 43 at Wellington, 46 at Odell, and 48 at Pampa. Now I have your Texas, one of your Texas forecasts coming up here pretty quick. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I think I got a lot accomplished. I got some spraying done finally. The wind calmed down there for a little while Saturday. Got some corn going in the ground here in the next 10 days or so. Irrigating some wheat. Gave up on the rain. Know we have some rain in the forecast Thursday, but according to Gary McManus on the Oklahoma Mesonet on his social media post here a couple hours ago, the rain chances for northwestern and central western Oklahoma have gone down dramatically. So I hope they're wrong, because we need it. We need some rain. Everything else going on right. Great breaking news. Breaking news from the Clark Ponderosa this morning. Finally, some dehydrated apricots from the candy section at Atwoods here in Elk City captured the skunk, the all elusive skunk that I've been after for about 3 weeks now. Got him. My wife and our friend are out there. Rob are working on the house today, and they're really waiting for the show to be over, so I'll come out and remove him because he's stinking the place up. If they just be quiet, quit talking in there, it wouldn't disturb the thing. But anyway, the skunk is caught, and gentleman from the FSA office here in Beckham County told me he probably already have babies, so I'll have to catch the babies too. So we'll see about that. Other than that, nothing major going on around my operation. It's dry. Everybody knows it's dry. And we just need to cross our fingers and hope for some rain here in the next week or two. It's getting desperate. It has been desperate and just getting more desperate. How about that? Okay, let's check out what's happening on what happened over the weekend in the markets. Commodities were down overnight as stock markets in Europe and the U.S. moved higher. The threat of nuclear escalation by Russia over the weekend is viewed as bullish for the commodity markets. May corn futures were lower in overnight trading, with the last trade showing corn down 3 cents at 6.39. Soybeans have been trading at a range of 9 cents overnight, with the last trade showing soybeans down 2 cents at 14.26. Chicago wheat has fallen a nickel. Kansas City wheat futures were also down a nickel, and Minneapolis wheat is down 3 cents. The main focus now is weather forecasts in the United States. Nothing he believes, that's Al Cloris with the commodity advisors, believes they positive for commodity prices, particularly corn. It looks like hope of early planting season is gone. The 2022 summary of farms and land and farms published by the USDA in February 2023 estimated the number of farms in 2022 at 2,700. Down 9,350 farms from 2021. Total lands and farms also fell 1.9 million acres to 893,400,000. The biggest change for 2022 is that producers in the 100,000 to 49,999,000 sales class. The third of six classes operated 1.62 million acres less in 2022 than in 2021. Average farm size increased in the 1 million or more sales class and decreased or remained unchanged in all other classes. Weather's in our farm belt, winter weather advisory for parts of northeast Colorado, northwest Kansas, and southwest Nebraska stretches through midnight tonight. The National Weather Service warns some accumulations at 3 to 5 inches is possible, with gusts up to 35 mile an hour wind making travel very hazardous and reducing visibility. The best potential for blowing snow is late Monday morning in the afternoon into the afternoon hours. So anyways, I'll take 3 to 5 inches of snow right now. I don't care. Actually, I was looking at the Long Ranger after tonight and tomorrow night. It looks like winter might, for the most part, be over most parts of the western Oklahoma and the Texas panhandles. Get down to 32 tonight. It was 32 at my house when I left this morning at daybreak. 34 is predicted for tonight. So after that, I mean, we got 80s looking us in the face first part of next week. So hopefully the weather forecasters get this wrong and that dry line develops out in the Texas Panhandle and gives western Oklahoma a really good chance at some rain coming up Thursday. But we'll see what happens. Okay, let's check out grain prices right now. We got May corn, 646. Actually, everything is in the green but cotton and sugar. Matter of fact, I had a personal confrontation with the sugar daddy this morning himself. Highly disappointed. He hasn't checked with our local FSA office on programs for pineapples. We've talked about this over the last month. And then I finally got to see him in person this morning, and he doesn't even have his pineapples planted yet. So I'm not sure why he's worried about checking with the FSA office on programs for pineapples in western Oklahoma. If anybody has any insight on that, please let me know, because the text line is wide open right now, 580-225-9697, if you got any insight on that. Let's continue on. Corn, July, 628. September, 577. Soybeans for May, 1441. July, 1420. August, 1377. Soybean meal for May, 445.90. It's taking a pretty good, soybean meal's taking a pretty good hit in the last couple weeks, but it looks like it's starting to recover. July, 441.80. August, 433.70. Soybean oil for May, 54.51. July, 54.62. Hard red winter wheat for May, 865. It's up nicely today at 17. And then July is up 17 also at 851. Oats for May, 373. And July is 370. Cotton for May is at 76 cents a pound. July is at 77 cents a pound. And sugar for May is just getting ready to go below the 20 cents a pound mark at 20.208. How's that? We got that right. Crude oil for West Texas is up $2.50 today at 71.75. Natural gas is just, it's almost below $2. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not below $2 this week. So we got that going on. Let me see here. Let me check it out. And we got, oh, thank you. Candace is such a sweetheart. Anyway, let's see here. I want you guys to listen to this about the condition of wheat in Kansas, because it affects us in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. I got this I want you guys to listen to before we take a Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. Hang on with me here just a second.
Excellent condition. By Charmaine Heffley. Despite the start of spring, which typically gives growers the best chance for precipitation, western Kansas continues to be plagued by intense drought conditions. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor released Thursday, March 23, only 15% of Kansas's acres are experiencing no drought stress. just over 36% of the state reported D4 exceptional drought compared to just a little over 1% a year ago. D3 extreme drought conditions are plaguing 16% of the state, with D2 severe drought affecting 13% of Kansas. D1 moderate drought is affecting 9% of the state, while another 9% is experiencing abnormally dry conditions. Dennis Toti, director of the USDA Midwest Climate Hub, says for corn and soybean operations, luckily the worst of the drought areas are outside of those growing areas. For operations that rely on moisture for their pastures and rangelands, however, Kansas has had a couple of years of drought, so even if we were to see some moisture, we would need an outstanding spring precipitation to see an impact. Toti adds, while we are entering spring with the best chance for precipitation, in the areas currently experiencing D3 to D4, extreme drought to exceptional drought, it will be very hard to eliminate the drought in those areas. Even if the state were to see an outstanding amount of precipitation this spring, carryover drought would continue, he says. USDA's Crop Progress and Condition Report for Kansas released on March 20th confirmed the stress caused by the lack of moisture. Winter wheat condition in the state rated 25% very poor, 25% poor, 31% fair, 17% good, and only 2% excellent, a slight decline from the first report of the year. The most recent topsoil moisture supplies rated 35% very short, 32% short, 32% adequate, with just 1% reporting a surplus, showing improvement since the start of 2023 when 43% of the Kansas topsoil was rated very short. Subsoil moisture supplies were even more dismal, rated 44% very short, 35% short, 21% adequate, and 0% surplus in late March, an improvement from January's rating of 47% very short.
There you have it. That's basically what Northwestern Oklahoma, the Panhandle Oklahoma, and the Texas Panhandle are all in the same shape as that right there. It affects the farmers and ranchers. It affects people supplying these farmers and ranchers with their needs that they need. We got custom harvesters. We got agriculture sales. It's a bad deal going on right now. And I know here in central western Oklahoma and down southwest here, we have some sub-moisture, but that's it. I mean, the wheat is growing so fast now, it's using it up. So it's just not going too good. When I come back, I'll have some information on the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Also, I'll have some reports on what the live cattle and the feeder cattle are doing. I guess Texas and Southwest Cattlemen's Association, they took a break Friday and didn't send out our email on the Texas and Oklahoma feedlot reports. They got their big thing going on down there in Texas this weekend, so they've probably been too busy to make that out. Other than that, I'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more to go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 20th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,135 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 310 brought 270. 9 at 486 brought 240. 8 at 658 brought 215. 3 at 653 brought 213. 30 at 725 brought 196. 8 at 898 brought 175. 4 at 903 brought 174. 3 head of heifers at 450 brought 200. 10 at 558 brought 210. 13 at 663 brought 187.50. 5 at 750 brought 170. 4 at 828 brought 155. 25 at 851 brought 166.50. 17 at 875 brought 165. Butcher cows were 36 to 108. Butcher bulls brought 109 to 138. Bred cows were 1050 to 1275. Pairs brought 1200 to 1460. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. Once again, good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 17th. 820 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 407 brought 230. 10 at 426 brought 242. 6 at 460 brought 240. 4 at 476 brought 232. 16 at 648 brought 195. 5 at 680 brought 181. 16 at 702 brought 192. 5 head of heifers at 343 brought 225. 4 at 483 brought 207. 10 at 569 brought 194. 3 at 712 brought 175. 18 at 713 brought 177. 11 at 762 brought 176. 7 at 800 brought 144.50. Butcher cows were 69 to 107. Butcher bulls brought 92 to 116. Bred cows were 900 to 1710. Pairs brought 1750 to 2200. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. When you're a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, you also get to be part of the many ways that cattlemen give back. The charitable arm of the OCA is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation. The OCF distributes over $25,000 in scholarships each year, organizes internship programs, pays out theft awards, and has collected and paid out over $1.5 million in natural disaster relief for wildfires and flooding. The OCA also hosts the annual WRCA sanctioned ranch rodeo exclusively for the Oklahoma ranch teams. Over $600,000 of the proceeds of this event have been given to benefit the Children's Hospital Foundation. It's always a great day to become a member. Go to www.okcattlemen.org or call Lori at 580-273-5137. 580-273-5137 or www.okcattlemen.org. Thank you very much for sponsoring every Monday is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. All right, let's check out some weather out here in the Texas Panhandle. Let's see here. Oops, wrong one. I've chosen Miami today. It's 47 degrees right now. The wind chill's at 43. Maybe I lied a little earlier. They actually have some wind going on right there. The humidity is 42%. Dew point is 25. The wind's out of the southeast at 8 miles an hour with gusts up to 12 miles an hour. Not too bad. Peak wind gust today has been 19 miles an hour. So far, month-to-date precipitation, 0.12. 12 one-hundredths of an inch. Red flag minutes today, 0. Sub-freezing minutes today, 486 minutes below freezing. 8-inch soil temperature there right now in Miami is 50 degrees. So there we go. How about that? Let's see here. We got rain is guaranteed in Elk City this week. The carnival is in the park. Probably so. You're probably right. And Easter's coming up a week from this coming Saturday. It usually always is either really cold or raining on Easter. And if you actually check the Long Ranger forecast, they're calling for a 40% chance of rain on Easter Saturday, Easter weekend Saturday. So we got that going. All right, let's check out what's happening. Let me update the cattle market real quick. April live cattle, 164.47. June is 158.47. August is 158.22. October, live cattle, 162.37. Feeder cattle for March, 191.60. April is 197.35. Lean hogs for April, 79.12. May is 87.67. And June is 93.97. That's what we got going on. Okay, I got to announce a couple of things before I take a quick break. I'm going to have, hope he's here. He comes in. He will. David Meisner with the U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated is going to be in here. I had him in here, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago, and he was talking about their convention they were having coming up north, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then he just walked in. How about that? Anyway, he just got back from Washington. What was that, Saturday? Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, he just got back from Washington. He's had some photos on social media. Him and the famous Frank Lucas, U.S. representative from our area, was there. But anyway, they discussed a lot of things going on with agriculture. And so we're going to spend the last half of the show going over some of those things, because I want to find out if there are any new gadgets that come out at your convention. That's what I'm after. But the Canute FFA and 4-H raffle. They're doing a raffle for that tailgating trailer, barbecue trailer they built there in the shop. If you haven't seen this on social media, go to the Canute FFA page and check this darling out. I mean, it is one nice, they got a griddle on it, a 4-gallon fryer, smart TV with radio so you can listen to the Today in Ag show while you're barbecuing. Anyway, have a chance. There's not going to be a whole lot of chances on this thing, but it's $100 tickets you can purchase online. Scan or code to purchase. A limited tickets will be sold. Drawing will be May 9th. It will be on display this coming weekend at the Southwest Farm and Home Expo, or you can come by and see it at the Canute Ag Building. They got it secured. I promise you, this thing is the cat's meow. So anyway, you got any questions, call Jeff Connor at 580-821-6270. 580-821-6270. Jeff's the ag teacher over there at Canute. And like I said, you want a shot at a really nice party wagon, this thing's the one to go to. We come back. Mr. David's in here with me already. He was probably outside listening. He said, I'm just going to make him think I'm not coming in. And anyway, he showed up. So you don't want to miss out on that. A lot of cool stuff about harvest equipment, I'm sure you found out. And also see what's happening up in Washington that has to be related with us. Let's take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and Stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Man, I just learned stuff in 5 minutes that most people don't learn in a year. This is cool stuff. All right, let's check out the weather forecast. And I believe I picked Putnam. I did. I'm good. Come on. Pick it up. All right. Currently at Putnam, it's at 47 degrees. Feels like 44. And if you guys don't know where Putnam is, it's up there kind of south of Tologa. And the river runs through there. And it's also the home of B&L Red Angus, Lori and Benji White. 44 degrees is the wind chill, 29 dew point, 49 is the humidity, 24-hour rainfall, zero east winds at 5 miles an hour. Sunrise is at 7:31, sunset is 7:51. The days are getting longer. Today, decreasing clouds, 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 54 northeast winds. Wednesday, looks like the only day we're going to have. No, let me take that back. Forecast has already changed. Starting Wednesday, it's just going to be windy. It's Oklahoma. It's the spring. 70 or 67 for Wednesday. Thursday, a 20% chance of thunderstorms, 71. South winds, 25 to 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 40. Thursday night, you have another 20% chance of thunderstorms, 59 continuing south winds. Friday, it's even going to be even windier, 75 for a high with southwest winds, 24 to 33 miles an hour with wind gusts up over 40 miles an hour. I hate to win because it dries things out. In the studio with me right now is Mr. David Meisner. He's here in Elk City. He's also the president of the U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated. Welcome back to Oklahoma.
Thank you for having me again. I'm glad to get back home.
I've been waiting to get you back on here because I really wanted to find out about the new gadgets that you found up there. Where was that at?
It was in Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha. I was wanting to say Kansas City, but it was Omaha. So, anyway, you've had your plate full here for the last month or longer.
Yes, I have.
How long have you been home out of the last 6 weeks?
Not enough, I can assure you that, because all last week I was gone the whole week.
I know. Well, you sent me that deal, and I looked it up on social media, and that's awesome, and we'll get to that here in just a little bit. Let's start out where we finished last time you was on here. You was headed to the convention. How'd the convention go?
We had a record number of attendance. It was just really awesome. All the people that were there and events that went on and good crowd, good support. it was a good fun time. The weather was good for us as well, so that was nice. And we had a snowstorm just before that up in there, but it went on
so
out.
So it's Nebraska in the winter. What do you expect?
That's exactly right.
It was, and that wasn't open to the public. That was open to only to harvesters.
That's correct. Yep, you got to be a member of our organization in order to attend that situation.
Because I was looking at after you come on the show, and I kind of briefly looked at it before you came on the show, but I got to looking in there. That's quite an organization you guys got.
Yes, it is. We've got members all over the U.S., and we got associate members, which is like on the support us, whether it's the manufacturers,
right,
if you will, that come out. And we've got some of those that are not just within the United States or North America. It's even in Europe. We've got some people.
Yeah.
We got people everywhere.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. Well, what kind of new gadgets did you see?
One of the things that I thought that was pretty neat that pertains to people more in this region, JBC, which makes that fast track tractor and whatnot,
right?
They made a deal for them tractors to be able to pick up the big round cotton bales and put one on the front and the back and be able to get them moved and transported, you know, just a little bit quicker to the end of the field and lined up and ready to get put on the trailer to get to the gin.
Oh, wow.
So we had, it was kind of interesting to see.
What are those, 5,000 pounds each?
Yeah, a little more. And, so it was probably the first two cotton bales that were ever in the state of Nebraska.
That's probably true. well, cotton round bales.
Yes, that's right, cotton round bales. Yep. So we had two of them in there. That was pretty darn cool.
What's that toy cost?
I don't know. I never asked that.
Guess you didn't want one, did you?
I don't have one of them fast tracks, but them tractors are really getting very popular with, like, the custom harvesters as well, because a lot of guys are using them for their grain cart tractor.
Right.
And then they're not using them as much for moving from place to place, especially once we get moved down, you know, the individual moves south.
Right.
You know, your next stop isn't too far. You know, them things are traveling more than 40 miles an hour. It doesn't take that long to get that grain cart moved up to your next stop.
Man, when you see down here during cotton harvest, you see a dust storm and you had one of those down there, you know what's going on. That guy is hauling across that cotton field. Huh?
That's right. It's time to get there.
One on the front and one on the back.
Yeah. So it was pretty neat and interesting. And we did have to make a little laugh about it, though, too, because when we were up there, they had a main water line break for the sprinklers fire system. And the water made a mess in our convention, but it was what it was, and we got things cleaned up. But we just thought if we put one of them bales over there, it would just soak all the water
up,
and we wouldn't have any problems.
Did you?
they got in there and they got her cleaned up and had them mops to suck up the water, so it went pretty good.
anything like caught your attention, like on combines, anything? Any? I mean, it's so sophisticated now; it's not even funny.
Oh, there's so much. Just technology and stuff that's out there and to be had and to be seen. And one of the biggest things that's really we're seeing more, not just in custom harvesting but a lot in the farms, is that there's a couple, for instance, like Pipe Ag, and they create a software program that basically helps you understand where all your equipment is and what's going on. For instance, with a custom harvester, you know, a guy that has, let's just say, five machines, he's probably got about 10 trucks. He doesn't have to call or figure out where all his trucks are. He can look on his tablet that he has with him at all time, and he can see where all his trucks are, how fast they're going, what they're doing, if they're doing things right or wrong, you know, hopefully only right. And same thing with all the combines. They can see, the program will show how much grain is in the combine. It'll show how much grain is in the grain cart, when he needs to get that next combine, and if he realizes that he only needs, say, 10,000 more pounds to fill up that grain cart to go put it on that truck to get that truck out, he knows which combine to get right away,
right?
Because it shows on the program X amount of pounds is on that combine, and he can go get it. And it just it's really helpful to get everything just organized and what's going on and where to go and, just what happened. And you know, too,
hey, Larry, would you go ahead and not stop twice going to the Quick Trip when you told me? Yeah, I can see.
There's plenty of that. It has stopped some of that. I got one guy that says he just loves it, that they always took this two-mile detour to go to the elevator because that's where he could stop and get one more can of pop or something like that. And he says it's really minimized that down because they know,
everybody,
and it's not just him. Everybody can see where everything's at. So it also helps when you're coming into the field or leaving the field for the trucks. you know to drive around the section this way or that way because other trucks are there, you see what's happening. You don't have to necessarily look ahead. You can see it on the tablet where everybody's located.
Well, and there's no guessing what you got on the combine, and you know the trucks is the old, and we're going to talk more about trucks and truck drivers coming up in our next segment. But I just, because I remember when we were, where was it? Kimball, Nebraska, wheat harvest.
Mm-hmm.
We had a 6620 and a 7720. And, no, it wasn't, I'm sorry, 8820 and the 7720. Hand signals were very important.
Yes, they were. Yes, they
and,
were.
And that was kind of before grain carts were, you know, yep. a deal. It's just the combines had to road all the way into the trucks
yep.
and get it, especially if it was wet. And,
that's
man,
right. That's right. And not everybody had, you know, two-way radios or the CBs either.
Right.
You know, but it just really is nice what we have evolved to and what we have and how it makes it so much easier for us to be more productive.
And it's money. Time's money.
It is. It really is. And, you know, you can get a lot more done and accomplished and be more efficient because you know, you're knowing all these things. You know, information can be overwhelming, but it can be a darn good thing and helpful if you know how to utilize it.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. That was not one of my favorite harvest trips. Because that year up there in Nebraska, the mosquitoes were bigger than bumblebees. And we would just have to get up in the trucks and cover up with wheat. I mean, they didn't make off that good there. But now it's just crazy how big the mosquitoes get.
The worst place I've ever been with mosquitoes is Malta, Montana and Saco, right there. They're two towns close together up on Highway 2 near Canada. And one of them towns is self-proclaimed the mosquito capital of the world, and I tell you, I'd never
it's
been
true.
Anywhere. Yes, it sucked.
Yeah. Well, I just get a kick out of people who's like, man, I hope it gets cold as crap this winter and stays cold to kill those mosquitoes and ticks. It doesn't work like that. The colder it gets, the bigger they come out of
their larvae. And we know when you get close to Canada, it's going to get colder than what it does down here, and it does. And long days and more winter, you know. But, yeah, the mosquitoes are up there worse.
In Montana, you got up there soft red winter wheat? What are you doing up there?
Yeah, most of actually we got some winter and spring wheat.
Oh, yeah.
A good chunk of it is hard. There's also some durum. There's a lot of peas and lentils. There's some places that got flax. There gets to be more variety of crops up there, sometimes mustard even. And, yeah, it gets diverse.
What's the biggest wheat field you ever been in Montana? Because everybody thinks Montana's mountains. It's not.
I combined for one guy that had, we did 1,000 acres for him in 1 week with one machine. We just went out there and whipped it out and I was only in two different fields, and it was, and the one was quite a bit bigger than the other one. But even saying that, even though it was in two different fields, but each field, they summer followed some of it. So we're not doing the capacity of the whole thing, you know,
right.
The other half, then he would plant the next year. So, yeah, a lot of acres.
A lot, yeah. I have a buddy up there that lives he's crossed over in Wyoming and crossed into Montana. He's got like 16 pivots up there.
Yes.
And all he grows is alfalfa.
Yes.
And shoots elk.
Yep.
That's all he does.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've driven through Wyoming many a times, and there's so much just grass and grass and grass and antelope. And
then all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah, and then there's a place that produces something. And there's a lot of sugar beets up in that area,
yep.
too. And I was really surprised that first time I saw a lot of trucks, and I recognized them trucks, and I thought, those are sugar beet trucks.
Yeah. When we come back from this Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break, David and I are going to talk about his trip to Washington, D.C., find out what the government's doing for us up there, not only as a harvester, but as a farmer and rancher. Lots of things going on there, because this deal I'm telling you about, we're going to talk about trucks and truck drivers. These licenses they discussed up there makes a big impact on what we got going on over here every day on just the farm and the ranch. First of all, let's listen to Jerry Nine.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, March 23rd. We're expecting 2,500 cattle. Will start the auction 8 a.m. From Levy, got 48 steers, nervous 5.5, Clayton, 35 steers at 5, Long Wayne, Ardnett, 26 heifers, 7.5, Moreland, 61 heifers at 7, Spearman, Texas, 30 heifers, 8.5, Bishai, 140 steers, 7 to 8.50, Kent, 65 heifers at 7, Enid, 38, Mixed, 8.5, Fargo, 40 steers, 7.5, Woodward, 60 heifers, 67, Moreland, 80 heifers at 7, Woodward, 14 heifers at 1,000, and Sayre, 30 heifers at 7. Good cow market on Tuesday, 3 to 5 higher. Best killing cow brought 111. Best bull brought 126. We sold some 3 to 4 year old bred cows, 5 to 7 months, break 1675. Again, expecting 2,500 for this Thursday. We'll start the auction 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring. Every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer, they're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing, 303-4246, 303-4246.
The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull Sale is Monday, March 27th at 1 o'clock at Sweetwater. Featuring over 30 Age Advantage Red Angus bulls, over 45 registered Red Angus replacement heifers, over 50 12 to 18 month old Red Angus bulls, over 50 commercial Red Angus replacement heifers, and over 40 commercial Red Angus first calf heifer pairs. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to mcintyreredangus.com. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull Sale is Monday, March 27th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracks. We have an automated system that we fuel fracks. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up, do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. Mangum, Oklahoma, you are my guinea pig today for the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. Currently at Mangum, it's 44 degrees, feels like 40. Humidity is 60%, dew point's 31, no rain in the last 24 hours. East northeast winds at 7 miles an hour. Sunrise 7:33, sunset 7:54. Today, mostly cloudy, high around 60. Tomorrow, sunny, 57. Wednesday, 69 and sunny. Wednesday night's going to be breezy. Thursday night, 20% chance of storms, 75 for a high. Thursday night, 20% chance of storms, 59 for a low. How about that? Friday, breezy, high, 78 degrees, southwest winds, 22 to 31 miles an hour with wind gust up over 40. Looks like starting about Wednesday afternoon, it's not going to be a good day to be burning. So everybody be careful. All right, in the studio with me is Mr. David Meisner. He is the president of the U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated. And first segment here with him, we were talking about new gadgets and all the cool stuff we want to hear about at their convention. Well, you just got back from Washington, D.C., and you and your whole board was there, I guess. Is that who I seen all in that picture?
There was four board members that were there. We actually have a board of seven individuals.
Okay.
So not everybody came, but those that went, we had a lot to discuss that whole time frame.
What was you there, 5 days, four days?
I left Oklahoma City on Monday and got there, and then first thing Tuesday we did. That day is considered National Ag Day in the Capitol, so we did quite a few events there, and
you guys were just partying it up.
We were busy, you know. That a lot of just different things that we had to do there. One time I had a interview with Max Armstrong for a little bit, and we had to discuss some things with USDA. Had a couple meetings there, and went and spoke in charge who's with FSA over there, and just a lot of individuals. And then Wednesday we for most part just stayed on the Senate side and spoke with about, I think, nine different senators there, and then we went over to the House side on Thursday and spoke with different representatives there, and that's when I got to see our one from this region, Mr. Lucas, which
Mr.
was
Lucas?
Just awesome, and it was nice to see him in his office. And then on Friday I had some more meetings and USDA stuff, and then flew home and got back home. So a lot of things happened.
Well, you met with senators and representatives. I guess you picked on the ones that actually knew something about agriculture.
So we did. We did, and which of course is helpful. But we tried to inform them on a few things that we knew
for
that was going
example,
on. Which our biggest one that we started out talking with everybody was what is called the Trucks Act, which is the senator of the state of South Dakota, Mr. Mike Rounds. He put this in last year and made something that was going to help the whole ag sector all across America in trying to eliminate us from having to do the entry-level driver training program with the CDL. And it's only good for the ag sector. It isn't for anybody else. And so because we were able to get him, we worked with Mr. Rounds and his office to try and get something done, and we got a bill written up. And then we let everybody know on the Ag Retailers Association, and they got an office in Oklahoma City and discussed it with them. And so we've been working back and forth. And we have had a lot of support already. Last year had some people that were co-signing and whatnot. And so we're doing really good on that. So we're just hoping that we can get that bill submitted.
What's that mean to let's see, what's it mean to a farmer out here, and what's that mean to you as a custom harvest?
So the farmer doesn't have to have a CDL,
okay,
but our everybody else does, if you know, because then you're not considered a farmer. So
okay,
you know, our co-op that has the tender truck that has the, you know, sprayer, got to move the grain back and forth. If you're in the ag sector and you need to get your CDL, right now they implemented it, started last year, February 7th, that you had to go to school and have time before you do your written test. Then you can go to state and do your written test, and then you got to do schooling for driving the truck before you can go to the state and get your actual test done.
Right.
And it just, we haven't seen any positive that it has helped and influenced in a
good
manner.
Not with what you just mentioned.
You know, it's just government at our best
tape
that we see.
Tape.
And so that's right. And so since that's been the way, we have made a bill that is going to eliminate all the ag sector from having to worry about that. And then once that the next thing is after we get them, then we're going to be able to retain them because they're not going to be able to get to go drive, not pick anybody in particular, but, you know, the big trucking firms that you see back and forth and just do the van trucking back and forth on the interstate that's not ag.
Right.
You know, it's we know our ag guys have got an understanding and I'd like to say a lot more common sense than everybody else.
Well, that's putting it nicely. Well, what was the second thing you guys talked about with the senators and representatives?
So I was hearing as I waiting to talk that speaking about the drought, you know, there's plenty of times here, you know, in Oklahoma, we don't have something to harvest. And when it isn't there to harvest, it hurts us. So we've been talking about seeing what we can get accomplished, some type of program for ourselves that we can get an insurance program set in place that, so that year that we have something that is unharvestable because of drought, we can get something in return to be able, because the farmer is expecting us to be there year to year, but it's hard to be there when we don't have the money to pay for that equipment that year.
Right.
You know, and not that we really have that situation here, but you get in some of the other states, and I can say it's happened to me quite a few times in North Dakota, prevent plant. You can't get it planted
because
you have
too much. That's where your accent's from.
That's right.
Because you said South Dakota really good while ago. No, I knew where
you got
from.
Well, you got it.
Well, it makes sense because, like last year, for example, you know, Texas was in a severe drought. Western Oklahoma was in a severe drought. Kansas was in a severe drought. There couldn't have been a lot of wheat cut between Texas and Kansas last year.
And one thing that was nice for me.
What are you guys going to do, drive up down the road?
Yeah, a lot of them, you know, didn't come down for myself. I lost plenty of acres as well. But it was, you know, if you will, since I live here, I got to do, maybe some of them still had one quarter left, or this 80 that was down in the creek bottom. So it was still worthwhile cutting. So I got to do that, and I had a few more acres because I was just living here. But you can't come down for the one field.
No.
It doesn't pay.
It doesn't,
but because I'm already here, you know, I got a little bit extra, but I sure didn't do the acres I normally do because of the situation.
And you don't know if those acres are going to be there this year.
That's right. We still need more water.
Yeah, the wheat doesn't look too wayno. I'm sorry. I'm not a negative person, but I'm pretty realistic. A lot of big blue spots out there probably ain't going to produce much. And we just been missing those storms by 50 miles and sucks, like you said a while ago. It sucks.
It does. And then
there's because you know, the world, the economy of agriculture. It's not just the farmer selling his grain. It's not just the cattleman selling his cattle to wherever he's selling them. You know, these farmers and ranchers got to buy fuel from somebody. Mm-hmm. So there's a fuel business somewhere.
Yep.
They got to buy feed. So there's a feed business somewhere. They got to buy chemicals. There's a chemical business somewhere. There's custom harvest guys like you that buy from dealers, whether it's here or in South Dakota, it doesn't matter. All this all adds up. It's one big vicious cycle, and if something gets broken in the middle of that, it all shuts it down. And the farmer stops at the Quick Trip and fills his truck up with diesel. I mean, it's endless.
Well, plenty of these small towns get to see us coming in, and we go to the cafe and eat.
Yeah.
If we don't need to be here,
plus
you ain't going to see
fuel.
That group. That's right.
They
miss out, too.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be a big portion of the whole, but, you know, we all like to have a little bit of dessert once in a while.
Yeah, it's true. Well, what was we got about 3 minutes left. What was the last thing you guys talked about?
The last thing that we were
important
up there for, was our H-2A program, which is just the individuals coming from other countries to work in the ag sector. And it's a visa only for the ag guys. And, with that, they've been changed. They always have, like anything, got an amount that you have to pay your individual.
Right.
And that's fine and dandy. And depending on which state you're in, it's always different. But a lot of states, it's about $16, $17 an acre as a base rate that you got to pay them. But then they changed it for the trucking industry. As soon as you have to have the individual drive the truck, just maybe one time, or whatever the situation is, just filling out your
his
group of stuff.
His pay rate goes up.
His pay rate changes. And you
for
got
the whole thing.
For
not
the
just,
whole thing.
Yeah.
From the first day to the end of the day, then it's at least $26 an hour is what you have to pay them. And so then, you know, for instance, like me, I got some guys that are going to come in. I need some for trucks, some for combines. You know, they come in and they want to do. But you got to make a fee or a file that you need to have, say, four people to get to come in for your harvest, you got to make that filing. You do that, you pay X amount, but you don't know which one you're going to have for the truck and which one you're going to have for the combine. Yeah. Or maybe you're going to switch them. But if you have one of them drive
are
for the combine.
Are you fired Larry for stopping at the convenience store too much?
That's right.
I got a text in here, interesting for you. It says, when I was in high school, I went on harvest with a crew from Hobart. We cut somewhere in Montana. The field was so big, I saw nobody but the grain cart driver all day. A portion of the field actually went up into Canada, just me and my Massey 76020 with a 20-foot header all day long.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a few days ago. That would have been more than 30.
Yeah. Well, David, we're out of time, and look forward to having you back in here. Your father-in-law's coming soon.
We will, and we'll have him then, too.
Yeah, we'll have a farmer from Germany in here.
You got it.
Anyway, thanks for coming in. David Meisner with the U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.